The best Cork sporting action at the weekend.
One goal to win the title. It's as simple as that.
Can you believe this?
Have you ever seen a try like that?
The Big Red Bench
on Cork
Red FM.
All right, welcome along to the Big Red Bench here on Cork's Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next hour. A huge day in store ahead tomorrow as the Cork footballers and hurlers are back in league action. Páirc Uí Chaoimh, 1:30 tomorrow, the footballers take on Cavan while the hurlers take on Waterford at 3:45. Hopefully a big year in store in both codes. Can the hurlers break the 21-year-old duck? Surely one man capable of breaking it is Cork boss Ben O'Connor, who's in conversation with their very own Rory O'Hagan.
Ben O'Connor, how are things, sir? Thanks for talking to us.
How about us, all right?
How has it been the last couple of weeks?
We've been busy, Rory. I suppose the only thing is that we've been blessed with the weather. We didn't have to miss training any night, which is a big plus this time of year. I think that for the last few years, it was nights missed here and there, but we've been lucky enough, and the Pearshick have been very good to us outside. We've been there on Tuesday nights, and great facilities, and delighted with the surface out there. And then the other two nights, we've been parking in, so things are going well at the moment.
I can't imagine you miss pre-season as a player, do you?
No, I was even thinking back to when we were at it ourselves, like, to see what fellas are doing now, it is unbelievable now. The amount that goes into the outside of the nights of training, like, when we were at it, the gym was only starting to kick off that time, so I wasn't a fan of it myself, but it wasn't really forced on you either.
But
see what fellas are putting in now, with us 3 nights a week, and then they're in the gym on Monday night, collective, and then after that, they're on their own, like, so it is crazy. It is mad to see what fellas are putting into it.
When you were a player, I suppose, was it like they're all athletes now, like,
Yeah. The running side of it, grand. We were probably doing that as well, but it's just all the other stuff, the nutrition and the weight side of it on top of it as well. Like, it's crazy. And to think that fellas aren't getting paid for it, and the day they didn't go great, they're getting abused by some fellas out in the crowd who's watching Coronation Street on Tuesday night when the lads are training. So, no, it is fair play to all the fellas that are put themselves over to it.
That's what bothers you, the key word. Warriors kind of aspect of, like, you know, as a bad game for Cork when people need to get straight away slagging them off.
Yeah, surely that's all, ever and always, and it's going to be there in another 50 years time. It's going to be the same thing at all, but, like, if they come down and watch what fellas are putting in the training, see what they put themselves through, they'd see a totally different side of it, and you might be a lot slower before you pass a comment. But I'm saying every fellow that goes out to play wants to do his best. We all didn't have good games every day, and, like, that's the only thing in the group here. Everyone knows that, they know what they're putting in the training, so it's accepted everyone's going to have a bit an off day.
Yeah, because that means favourite pitch after the Ireland match. We all knew it was bullshit, the stuff that was coming up, but, like, when you see people asking you questions, it's going to start ringing, like, come here, cut on the spot.
Yeah, look, that's last year. That's where we're looking at that now. Anything that last year, we can't do anything about that. People can have comments, whatever they want. We're in 2026 now, and we're just driving forward.
A lot of new players, I suppose, over the last couple of weeks, a lot of young players coming in. How have you found them, working with them?
Yeah, we've a few different fellas brought in now for training, and they're all made and eager, like, but it's amazing to see the difference in body sizes when you see a fella come in. You see a fella that has been here for the last 3 years compared to a fella that's in for his first time, like, but we're trying to get a good mix and a good blend, and I suppose the main thing is to have a good dressing room that every fella is getting on well with each other.
And the fellas that come in there, are they surprised by the physicality that they
kind of
have to get to?
Yeah, I suppose they are a little bit surprised, but I suppose they're mad for the challenge. Sure, there's no step taken backwards, like, everything's going forward, like, and they see them fellas, they know they have to get to that level, and if they don't, that unfortunately they'll be cast aside.
I'd imagine a few fellas have kind of put their hand up over the last couple of weeks.
Ah, yeah, sure, look, training has been, as I said, training has been savage, and we've had a few matches and fellas that got their chance there after take it, so hopefully we'll pick the team now tomorrow, and there'll be a few new faces in Sunday, some of the older fellas obviously, but some new faces, and we'll try and give everyone a fair crack at the wave.
Bringing that new blood is vital, I suppose, to keep everyone on their toes, but also bring fresh ideas and, I suppose, the fresh energy.
Yeah, sure, you have to change things up, otherwise fellas get too familiar in their own surroundings, and it gets too friendly, so we have a good bit of body training, and fellas are mad eager at the moment.
Is there a lot that needs to be changed from last year for the team that went so close to winning Ireland?
No, we're beating two All Ireland finals, so a lot of the heavy lifting is done at this stage. It's only maybe a small tweak here and there, and maybe a small bit of luck as well. So, look, we're not going to come in and try and change up everything that has been done over the last 3 years, because obviously we're not too far off it on our day.
And when you were asked to become the Cork hurling manager, was it an instant yes, or did you have to think about it? Or
Yeah, I suppose it was when I was asked, just straight away, yeah. Just think about it then after. You don't get offered these chances too often. And I suppose you have to just check things out at home, that the wife and the lads at home, or the three small children at home, that they're all happy that you're going to be missing for a few nights every week for the next 8 or 9 months. So that was cleared, and I was just delighted to be asked. And just mad looking forward to the year ahead.
The wife is the main one, I suppose, is it?
Well, I suppose there's soccer and camogie and there's football and there's all other things to be dropped off in here, so she's busy at home. I think I'm busy over here, but she's a lot more busy than what I am.
I think, Matt, the club must be a huge honour for the club to have Lieutenant
Trent
as Cork manager.
Yeah, I wouldn't be thinking that much about it. Like, I look at myself as Cork now. Once you're in here, we're trying to get that to the boys here. Once you come in here, like, we don't look at the colour of the club jersey. We're in here, we're Cork, we're representing Cork, and I think that's the way you have to have it, because obviously there's rivalries in club, and we don't want any of that inside here. We just want everything to come in, we're all pulling in one direction.
Next, they've seemed like a very united bunch, a very close bunch over the last couple of years.
Yeah, from what I've seen of them, we've only been with them for the last 2 or 3 months. They're a great bunch. Nothing fazes them. Anything the rest to do, they'll do it. Ian Jones will be pulling the strings there at training, and he's barking out orders, and he, you know, even they're looking at him saying, are you serious? Not a word. They'll just get on and do it.
I'd imagine there's a kind of different buzz on training this week heading into the league action Sunday.
Ah, sure, yeah. This is what it's all about. Like, we're after the last bit, a lot of slog has gone on there for the last few weeks, and it's all about the matches, and people are starting to talk about it. Field out here is perfect. We played a game here last Saturday just to have a trial run, that, so we got that out of the way, and fellas just meant to get in again, play in front of the crowd.
And once the derby's against Waterford, it's full blood
affairs. Ah, yeah, sure. We've, in my time, we had great matches against Waterford, the league and championship, so look, hopefully Sunday will be another one of them, and once we come out on top, we'll be happy.
I'd imagine there'll be another huge crowd here. The support the Cork Hurlers have gotten historically, but over the last couple of years, have been incredible.
Yeah, it is unbelievable. Even below Mallard last night against Clare in the Munster League, like, you wouldn't be expecting that you get a crowd like that on a Monday night coming down to watch us. So yeah, I suppose the crowd are mad looking for success, and there's a lot of pressure that goes with that as well, but look, as long as lads go out and give it 100% and do their best, that's all we can ask of them.
And you've chosen Darragh Fitzgibbon as your captain. I mean, like, obviously there's a whole bunch of leaders in that team, but why was Darragh Fitzgibbon the standout candidate for captaincy?
Yeah, I suppose Darragh has been performing over the last few years, and he's one of the older fellas now at 28 years of age. He's probably one of the older fellas. He's seen a lot of it, he's been around a long time, so I just think it's good for the group, and as you said, we could have picked anyone of the 36 that we have, we could have picked any one of them, but it's just Dara gets the honour this time.
I know you say Park last year, but I imagine the part of that other fine was driving the players forward this year.
I would imagine so. I wasn't involved, but the crew with me weren't involved, so 2026 is all we're looking at now.
Yeah. What can we expect now from the Ben O'Connor team? Like, what stylistically are you going to be changing? What chairs? Just small kind of increments or small evolutions?
No, and the main thing I'm looking for is work and work effort, and honesty in the play that they have. We won't be trying to invent the game. We'll be just looking to use the ball as good as we can, and not to give it away, and win it back as fast as we can.
Excellent, Ben. Thanks very much.
Cheers, all right.
Yeah, great stuff from Cork boss Ben O'Connor there. Bad news though for Liverpool fans when I interrupt the GA action. They're 2-0 down away to Bournemouth at the moment. 37 minutes gone in that fixture. Keeping with the hurling, and Rory also caught up with Cork captain Darragh Fitz.
Darragh, first off, thanks so much for talking to us. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, very good.
Tell me, when you got the call, who wants to be captain? What was your first thought country you had?
My first captain, or my first thought, it was a privilege, really. Something that you can't say no to. Coming from the man you're coming from, and the role that it is, I'm just delighted. I'm very privileged and very honoured. It's the least for my family, and obviously, but Dublin Charlton as well, so look forward to getting the season going there.
Like, there's obviously a huge amount of leaders in that panel already, like.
Yeah, I'm very lucky, and I suppose there's 4 or 5 players in Captain Cork in the past few seasons, so I won't be hesitating to go for them for any bit of advice or anything that I need, and all those guys are naturally very vocal anyway, so it's not going to be a case of just being kind of a one man trying to speak in a dressing room or anything like that. I'll have plenty of support and plenty of help.
Would you be a man now for a big speech in the dressing room heading out to start matches, or will you have to learn that part of the job?
I suppose it's about seeing what the situation is, really. If it's needed, it's partly my role to do that, but first and foremost, you kind of have to lead in the field. If you're not leading on the field, you might be looking up to you. That's where the engagement battle is, so that's where my focus is, and see whatever happens on after that.
How's pre-season been so far?
Pre-season boot cuff, yeah. It was pretty putting a heavy block of training, it's probably been well documented. But we're looking forward to going out and seeing what that translates to.
You're obviously not someone who enjoys pre-season, so, or is it just one of these things that has to be done?
Yeah, it's just one of these things that has to be done, but I suppose as the longer your kind of career goes on, you start to appreciate these things more, because, you know, you only get so many years at it, and so I suppose rather than kind of seeing it as, oh, I have to go do this, it's kind of more appreciating that, you know, it's not part of the journey, it's a base for you to be able to perform hopefully later on here.
How has pre-season training evolved over the years? Are you still running laps at the park, or how does it work?
No, the laps are within Twitty gone anyway. It's definitely become
more scientific, I imagine, isn't it?
More scientific. Everything's kind of monitored in what you're doing. And that, like, I suppose you see that in fellows are kind of picking up less individually and stuff, and you know, you're kind of praying for the right times of the year. But even though it's getting more scientific, it's still as hard as ever, really. Yeah.
I imagine there's an extra buzz around training now this week with the league match coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, definitely. The games you want to be playing. So, like I said, we're looking forward to seeing how our training translates onto the hurling field. And we're back in Parking Weave. We've a fantastic run. With such great teammates around you, you know, where else would you want to be, really?
And some new faces as well involved over the last while, and obviously a few new faces will be involved on Sunday, which is kind of, I suppose, great to keep the team fresh, I suppose, keep fellas on their toes.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, keep things fresh, keep fellas on their toes. You know, if you're lucky enough to get to Jersey, you have a job to do with train first and foremost for the team to form and hopefully win. And then, you know, you want to try and keep onto the Jersey as much as you can. Play the role whatever you want, whatever way you can. So there'll be a few new faces, I'm sure, playing on Sunday, and I'm sure they're looking forward to the challenge.
And no easy games against Waterford. I know it's a cliche, there's no easy games anywhere in the league, but against Waterford especially.
Yeah, definitely. I suppose given it's a Munster, another Munster Championship team, so we'll be playing each other again later on in the year. And you probably want to set out your stall, especially when you're home. But, you know, you want to try and win your home games in the league, and try and avoid that relegation and getting involved in any sorts of league relegation. So looking forward.
Yeah, obviously great to be at home for the first one as well, and have that core crowd behind you. What's it like running out in front of a solo capacity, full Parky Cleve?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. It's just, I think it's like what you kind of dream of as a kid, really, you know, especially the last two seasons. Like, I think every stadium has been full, and it's just been a sea of red everywhere. And there's always, it's kind of spine tingling, really, when you come out from that stadium underneath the tunnel. That first time you just hear the Cork floor, it's class, and so it's nice to be able to have the opportunity to do that again on Sunday.
You must be blown away by it. Like, I'd imagine you want people come to talk to you and stuff, like outside of, like, you know, matches just around the village or whatever, like, or...
Yeah, I mean, the journey, it's hard to describe, really, the journey, just the way the Cork public have kind of taken us over the last 2 years has been fantastic. We owe them a performance every time we go, because they give us such support and they give us such a big lift. And like I said, probably every young kid in Cork at the moment is kind of just wanting to be part of that when they grow up. So it's nice to be able to have the opportunity to be part of it yourself.
New man in charge, obviously, but first, just a word on Pat Ryan, I suppose, everything he's done for you over the last couple of years.
Yeah, Pat's phenomenal. I don't think anyone has a bad word to say about Pat. He was involved with us when I came through in 2017 as a coach, and he really opened up your eyes to what it is like to train again in terms of coaching. And then he came back in as manager, and his management was just blast, and I think the Cork public got behind him as well over the last two seasons. And look, just about performance over the last 2 years, you know, so much of it was down to Pat. It's pity for him that the players, us as a playing group, we didn't get him that honour in the last 2 years, but you know, he's left a mark on us that'll stay us forever.
How much of the hurt of, like, I suppose, the last year's All-Ireland defeat is going to motivate you going forward this year?
I think inside the group, you kind of just, you know, when you don't really think about it really that much. You know, if we won or if we lost the All-Ireland, we should be playing on Sunday, and you know what, there's still a league title to be trying to win, a Munster title and All-Ireland, hopefully later on in the year. So everyone has that goal. I don't think it's much different, as motivated as ever and as eager as ever to get going.
I just asked Mark there about the WhatsApp rumours after the All-Ireland final. He was just laughing at it, and he said it just got blown massively out of proportion. What was your feeling like when someone sends you a text going, come here, is this true?
Yeah, I just didn't really pay much attention to it, really. Yeah. Like, I think,
because you can't really deny it, because if you deny it, people are going to go, oh yeah, it definitely happens, though, like.
Yeah, I know. I just play no heat to it, really, to be honest. You know, totally out of our control. Anyone that would be sending it to you anyway would know, like, that's just
those teams just
100%
an impression set up.
Yeah, I couldn't believe people that genuinely thought it was real, genuinely. Obviously, new man in charge. Now, what's the transition been like?
We all look up to Ben. Just a fantastic man to have in charge. In terms of transition, it's just been hard training, really. It's been a real good block of work that we've done. I think we're in good shape physically. Obviously, you know, we get onto the field to see how that goes. We're not going to get two up or two down performances and our wins and our losses. You know, it's all about kind of learning what works, what doesn't work. Everyone getting on the same page and just being ready for the first round of the Munster Championship.
He's obviously done everything there is to do in the game with club and county. Like, there's so much you can learn off him.
Yeah, absolutely. He's won everything. You know, I think that's the one thing that you kind of think of when you think of Ben O'Hanrahan. You know, he's a winner. So that kind of gives confidence to the group. He's going to do whatever he can to try and win, and it's up to us to get behind it and support him as best we can.
I was asking then, stylistically, is much going to change? He says not a whole lot has to be done. Like, the heavy lifting is done, he said. It's just a few tweaks here and there in your way.
Yeah, you imagine so. That's up to him and the playing group to kind of come up with a philosophy like that we think works for everyone involved, and you know, we're working hard on that. We're not going to have it right for maybe a couple of the league games. Mm-hmm. There'll be a few tweaks here and there, but the intention is to have that right for the Munster Championship. Be ready to go and just be one of those three teams that get over the Munster.
Excellent, our best of luck.
Thank you very much.
All right, best of luck to the lads tomorrow. But to talk about it, I was joined on the phone by Matthew Hurley of the Southern Star. Right, we're delighted to be joined, as ever, by Matthew Hurley of the Southern Star. Matthew, how are you? We're looking forward to an intriguing double hitter in Páirc Uí Chaoimh tomorrow.
Yeah, it should be a good game, Dan. I suppose a good two games, obviously. It'll be interesting to see what Ben O'Connor's stamp is on the hurling team, playing as well for tomorrow. And with the footballers, even at this early stage, it's probably a must-win game if they want to eye up promotion in many ways as well. So it's an interesting day ahead. Obviously, we had some success over the last few weeks. Most people might believe that the season is starting now, but the season started a few weeks ago with Kilbritton obviously winning the All-Ireland at Croke Park. That was absolutely brilliant. So now we're into the inter-county season. I'm definitely looking forward to tomorrow.
Yeah, the buzz feels well and truly alive. I'm sure you've seen the videos of Kilbritton lads down in Dingle. All six Munster counties that won the All-Irelands are down in Dingle currently, I'd say. The Gards are on high alert tonight, I'd say.
Oh, I'd say so, yeah. I'd say, and they absolutely deserve it. It's a brilliant achievement by Kilbritton. But it's one of those days you really want to be down for. But to be honest, like with the Kilbritton PRO posting a load of pictures, and I'd say there'll be a load of videos coming soon, right as I know, we're nearly half two now. I'd say this evening we'll see a lot more videos of the Kilbritton lads this evening. But look, they absolutely deserve to enjoy this success. And yeah, best of luck to them. It's just a brilliant occasion. But as I said before, it's one of those days you really want to be down in West Kerry.
One of them, Dingle's a lovely spot. What is your highlight? What's your standout of the club championship?
It has to be Kilbritton, to be honest with you. Just so many facets of the Kilbritton story in many ways. Like, obviously, them winning the initial Car Premier Junior Championship on the late Oisin Galan's birthday, I thought was absolutely, you know, it was a poignant moment in many ways. And Oisin was a brilliant figure for Kilbritton even at a young age, and passed away tragically due to sudden adult death syndrome in March last year. And it was an emotional time for the club, even the loss of Anne Wainwright as well. They've been touching on that. And it was just brilliant for them to win the Premier Junior Championship in Cork, and even in the Munster Championship, I suppose, beating Kyle Rossity from Waterford was a superb achievement. The way they did it as well was a fantastic result for them. And just to win the All-Ireland, to win the three-peat, was absolutely superb from a Kilbritton point of view. Obviously, they have to enjoy these moments now. I think Philip Wall has said that to many sources, including the Southern Star, including to Red FM, obviously, about these absolutely brilliant moments. They have to cherish them, obviously. It's not every day, or it's not every year that you go and win an All-Ireland with your club. It's just absolutely brilliant in so many ways as well. And it's just amazing in so many ways that it was a West Cork club that achieved all this as well, because West Cork hurling, I wouldn't say it's the strongest in the world, but in fairness, there is some passionate people in West Cork hurling, and Kilbritton have definitely put the region on the map, in fairness to them. It's just a fantastic achievement. And as I said before, I'd say every member of the panel, I'd say Joe Ryan, the manager, I'd say everybody will be enjoying this success. It's just brilliant.
Well, we'll give a word to our noisy neighbours. Huge congratulations to Dingle as well in one of, Matthew, what has to be one of the greatest club All-Irelands of all time.
It was the greatest All-Ireland club final of all time, I would say. It was just an incredible final. From even Bridges getting the equaliser at the very end of normal time to Rory Fallon with the two-pointer, I thought it was a brilliant kick. Even I think it goes under the chaos in many ways, but Dylan Gainey's point in extra time was absolutely superb as well. And I suppose it was fitting for Mikey Gainey, a guy who's been around the block for a few years now with Dingle, to get the winning score at the very end. I thought it was absolutely brilliant from their point of view as well. And as you said at the start of the chat here, Dan, like all six Munster champions went on and won the All-Ireland. So is there a case to be made where that Munster is where the GAA is at it right now? Even look at the intercounty titles, Kerry winning the football, and we hate to bring it up obviously because they got the better Cork in July last year, but Tipperary winning the All-Ireland in hurling. So like eight of those crowns went to Munster as well. So look, it's a good time for Munster GAA at this present moment in time, and a good time for Dingle, good time for everybody involved, and hopefully they will enjoy their successes.
Well, hopefully it's a good year for Cork GAA. 16 years without an All-Ireland on the football, 21 now, can you believe it, on the hurling. And it starts tomorrow in Páirc Uí Chaoimh at 1:30 as Cork take on Cavan. Matthew, what are your thoughts on this Cork side coming off the back of McGrath Cup win against Kerry?
Look, it was kind of difficult to judge the McGrath Cup in many ways, simply because like it's a competition that John Cleary has said over the last few weeks that he wants to try out new players. He didn't necessarily think winning was the be-all and end-all in many ways, but it was a good confidence booster to beat Kerry. Any day you beat Kerry down in Killarney is just absolutely brilliant from a football point of view. And the fact that it was the Cork footballers' first win in Killarney in any competition since 1995, I think that was, you know, it's a good statement to attend. I'm not saying now that Cork will go down to Killarney and beat Kerry in a potential Munster final later in the year in May, but look, it was a good confidence booster for the lads in many ways. And it wasn't, I would say, the best Cork performance last weekend, but they still got over the line. They still found a way to win against a Kerry team that started the likes of David Clifford, Sean O'Shea, Joe O'Connor, even Ty Morley in defence, Shane Ryan in goal. So it was a strong enough Kerry team put out. Killian Splann obviously came on as well. Tony Brosnan is in the form of his life at corner forward. So it was a strong Kerry team. And Cork still got the win that day. It was a pleasing performance, I'd imagine, from John Cleary's point of view. The performances of Sean McDonald in pre-season has been very encouraging. This is a guy, obviously, that played very well last season. But with the likes of Stephen Sherlock coming back into the panel, with the likes of David Buckley coming back in as well, with Conor Daly and Dara Sheedy in and around the fringe as well, they're on the bench tomorrow against Cavan. It was key for the likes of McDonald to keep up the form from last year. And he has done in pre-season. He scored 6 points against Tipperary in his first game out. In his second game out, he was breaking the lines really, really well against Kerry, I thought. Created a few goal chances. Okay, they didn't end up in the back of the net. That might be something that Cork needs to improve on as a collective. Goal scoring was a big, big I suppose error in many ways from a Cork point of view, that they weren't taking their goal chances. They only had 2 goals in the entire football championship last year, which was a concern. But hopefully tomorrow the fortunes will change on that standpoint. And look, I think the footballers are going in a more positive light than last year. Like last year there was a lot of losses in the panel. Stephen Sherlock wasn't there. Jack Callan went off to the hurlers. Fiona Hurley, he didn't commit either. David Buckley had his injury issues. Obviously, Conor Corbett, Carl O'Mahony had some injury concerns too. So the panel wasn't, I would say, as strong as it is this year, last year. I think the panel is stronger this year, and it is a positive sign in many ways. And I'm sure John Cleary, like any other year, would be eyeing promotion. Like you look at the teams of this division, Tyrone, okay, they might be over the hills and far away when you look at the teams in there. But you look at Meade, you look at Derry, good teams, but I think they're beatable in many ways. I think Cork are definitely capable of beating them. Like, I know Meade reached the All-Ireland semi-final last year, but Cork did beat them the first day out in January last year. So there is potential there for Cork to spring something there. And the first 3 games, Dan, are absolutely huge. They're facing Cavan, obviously, tomorrow at home. Probably a must win in terms of our promotion chances. You've Louth in round 2, and then you have Offaly in round 3. I think those 3 games are pretty much must win, at the very least, win two out of them three games. And they could be on a promotion charge this year, but we'll have to see tomorrow. Obviously, that promotion charge could go crumbling down by tomorrow afternoon. We'll have to see, but hopefully they could get off them the mark and get a win against Cavan tomorrow, which I think they probably are capable of.
Looking at the team, are you surprised to see Sherlock not starting in that lineup, considering all the hype around him during the club championship and then him coming back onto the intercounty panel?
When I saw the McGrath Cup final last week and I saw Stephen Sherlock at 1 point, and that was for a free, didn't get any from play, and Brian Hurley came on and got 5 points, I was thinking to myself, there might be a change here. So I'm not really shocked in many ways that John Cleary decided to go with Brian Hurley rather than Sherlock. And the other forwards there on the team as well, like Mark Cronin, has been very consistent over the last few years. Arguably, Chris O'Jones is Cork's only goal threat in the team. Sean McDonald's performed very well in pre-season. Rory Dean, I think John Cleary does trust him in a way as well. So it's not really surprising in my eyes, given his performances last week. But we could easily see a situation, Dan, where he comes on in the second half and kicks 5-6 points in the second half. He's that kind of player, mm-hmm. Stephen Sherlock. So it is going to be very, very interesting. But I look at it on the flip side. You look at the Cork bench. Okay, the team, many people might have qualms about it. But when you look at the bench, you have Stephen Sherlock there, you have David Buckley, you have Matty Taylor, you have young players like Darragh Sheedy and Conor Daly. I do think the Cork bench is very, very strong. And there is a potential for a sort of a bomb squad to come on off the bench as well. And I think that could be playing to their advantage in many ways. Like, take for example, if Cavan are getting the better Cork halfway through the game, you bring on a guy like Sherlock, you bring on Buckley from Newstown, I think there's potential for those guys to flip the game around, or maybe even kick it on if Cork are ahead at that point as well. So I think it could play to their advantage in a funny way, Dan. I do think this bench is very, very strong, and we'll have to see tomorrow, but maybe John Cleary has a plan up his sleeve in having Sherlock and Buckley on the bench tomorrow.
Young lads coming onto the team. I see Sean Brady there. Patrick Doyle is back in as the goalkeeper with the looks of it for the year. Any lads there we can start getting excited about, Matthew?
I think Sean Brady is an absolutely excellent defender. Really came on the scene last year. And many people might have known Sean Brady for getting that red card against Kerry. May I add, a harsh red card at that point as well in that Munster semi-final. But I think he has really staked his claim on this Cork team. Like, the clearance he made off the line, I remember, at Portlaoise against Roscommon, was absolutely superb. And I think he is a very good young player to have on the team. I'm delighted that Sean Brady is starting tomorrow, because he definitely showed last year that he's very much capable of starting in this Cork team. It is a shame, obviously, Neil Lawton has stepped away this year. He's going travelling. I think he performed very well last year. But look, it's something that he wanted to do, and all the best to him. Sean Powter stepped away as well. He's gone out to Australia. Tommy Walsh is back in the team, which is a positive. I think Luke Fahey coming back into wing-back. He was injured for last year. He played well for Ballincollig in the club championship. I think that is a positive for him to come in. I think he would really excel this season. He has done over the last few years, and the poor guy has got, I suppose, injury concern after injury concern, and hopefully he can get a full bit of health and a full season under his belt, because he is a fantastic footballer. Even looking at the bench, I think Jake O'Driscoll of Valley Rovers, I think he is a very, very talented player. He played very well against Kerry last week, I thought. Very well in pre-season. He has been starting for UCC in the Sigurdsson Cup too. I think he is he's a well-capable defender, a well-capable man marker as well. And I think if he comes onto the pitch, he won't be necessarily weakening the Cork team tomorrow either. You have Sean Meehan, you have Matty Taylor on the bench there as well. Even in the defence, like Daniel O'Mahony, he's still there, which is a positive. I still believe he's one of the best full-backs in the country. Brian O'Driscoll's a great two-pointed kicker too. So look, there is positives, and there are some great players in that Cork team. There are a lot of potential there.
We'll move it on to the hurling. Most people's eyes, probably the main event. No disrespect to the loyal Cork football following, but Cork, of course, taking on Waterford in their opening league game at 3:45 tomorrow. Matthew, what do you think we can expect from this Ben O'Connor side?
It's going to be very interesting to see this. I don't think this is as crucial game as the footballers for hurlers, because in the hurling league, you could really test out a few players and things like that. And Ben O'Connor has done so in pre-season. Obviously, he did have to cut his panel from 46 to 36, and that was a challenging thing for him. But there is a few interesting names on this team sheet, I have to say. Tommy O'Connell in midfield for Middleton, really excited to see him tomorrow. I think he's an absolutely excellent player. He has played predominantly centre-back for Middleton, but I think he's well capable of midfield as well. Delighted to see Daryl O'Leary, actually a full-back from Watercress Hill. I think he is a brilliant player. He had a few injury issues himself. Obviously, he stepped away from the panel last year to an extent because he was studying to be a guard. Obviously, he still is in Garda College, but he's a very, very talented player as well. Brian Roach played very well for Bride Rovers, I have to say, in the Senior A Championship, and him and wing forward tomorrow will be very interesting to see. Delighted to see William Buckley start from St. Finbar's. I think he is a very good player, very pacey player, very clever player, I would say as well. And with Patrick Horgan obviously retiring, with the likes of Brian Hayes not there tomorrow, it is a big opportunity for William Buckley to really step up. And I think he is well capable of that as well. Even looking at the bench, you have a few players here and there. Alan Walsh from Kanturk, Micheál Mullins from Glen Rovers. Hopefully he will get a run out too. Daryl Sullivan of Ballinhassig. So there is a lot of names there that have potential, but it's about kicking on in this Cork team. And hopefully, I think this is a positive for these young players to play around the likes of Darragh Fitzgibbon, the likes of Shane Barrett, the likes of these experienced players, to see what they're made of in many ways as well, and see what it's like to be on a Cork hurling team as well. So I'm excited more so, Dan, to see the younger lads and how they will perform on this team. And maybe there's a chance for them to start in championship later on down the line too.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting, especially, I think, Matthew, in that forward line. Everywhere across the Cork team is so competitive now, but it's going to be a very tough decision for Ben to get down to his final six. Yeah, place has opened up now with Hoggy going, but without Brian Hayes, maybe there's actually no guarantee in that forward line.
There isn't, and even like the dynamics of the forward line is very, very interesting. Declan Dawson, a full forward, he has played wing forwards in the past, but what game plan are Cork going to play tomorrow? That's going to be very interesting as well. Will they pump the ball long into Declan Dawson and he can win off them? Another interesting aspect, and I think Mick Linehan for Clubbers talked in depth about this as well. Who's going to be Cork's free taker this season? Obviously, Hoggy's gone. Who's going to take up the mantle? Obviously, you had the likes of Conor Lehan take up the mantle a few times over the last few years. He's gone now. You would imagine because Darragh Fitzgibbon hit that pressure free against Limerick in the Munster final, you would imagine he'll take up the mantle. But Declan Dawson is as good a free taker as I've ever seen. Alan Connolly's very good for his club, Blackrock, too. So, will be very interesting. I think it might be a situation where Ben tries a free taker for the first two rounds and see how he's going. If he's hitting 90-100% shot accuracy, maybe keep him on the freeze. But if he's hitting 80-70-60%, maybe switch it up a small bit and see what another guy is like on the freeze. So, it's going to be very interesting to see from that angle. Mark Coleman's another guy that I've seen ranting about online as well. Obviously, he does play wing back. He might take the longer freeze, but with the shorter freeze for Blarney in the club championship, he really, really did well as well. So I think that's going to be the very interesting aspect tomorrow, and who's going to be the free taker from a Cork point of view, because obviously with Hoggy gone, there's going to be a lot of pressure on whoever steps up to the plate. It's sort of a job. Easier said than done, if that makes sense, Dan. It is a difficult job to be very, very consistent on freeze. And obviously, it's going to be interesting to see who Ben does choose initially to take the freeze tomorrow.
Well, you're mentioning the name Ben Cunningham. Surely can't be left out of that conversation as well. I mean, he's a fantastic free taker in his own right. Who, in my opinion, could be looking at the next Patrick Horgan with?
Potentially so. Like, he got 110 in the Munster Hurling League game against Clare. I think he is a very impressive player. I think he is a player that has potential to hit 100% shot accuracy from freezing games. He actually did so in the Cannon O'Brien Cup game just after Christmas against Cork for his college UCC, and has been taking the freeze for UCC as well. The thing about Ben, I think he needs a bit more consistency in his game in the next few weeks. If he does harness that into his game in the league, I think he is definitely a contender to take the freeze. The thing is, where would you put Ben on the team? Like, you look at the positions there. I think Dermot Healy, after last year, has performed very well. I think he's definitely worth his place in the start 15. So is Shane Barrett, so is Declan Dalton. Obviously, Brian Hayes is a slam dunk, obviously. Alan Connolly there as well. So you'd imagine there's one more spot left. Will that spot go to Ben Cunningham, or will it go to someone else like a William Buckley, like a Brian Roach, like a Robbie O'Flynn potentially, Seamus Hartney? possibly. So it will be very, very interesting to see. But be interesting to see if Ben O'Connor actually does start Ben Cunningham in the next week. He won't. He's not on the panel this week. I don't know if that's an injury concern or whatever it is. But it'd be interesting to see if Ben does get a run out in the next few weeks too.
Yeah, very interesting times ahead for both the footballers and the hurlers. Hope everyone enjoys the games tomorrow in Super Value Park of Cueve. If they're heading, Matthew, I shall see you tomorrow. Bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, my friend.
Exactly. So great to be here on the show again, Dan, and thanks for your time.
Welcome back to the Big Red Bench here on Red FM. Dan Casey here with you for the next half hour before I hand you over to Marty Guilfoyle. A bit of Premier League action now, and Bournemouth lead Liverpool 2-1 at the break. Peter Hood has the halftime report from the Vitality.
Bournemouth 2, Liverpool 1. Plenty of entertainment for the packed crowd in difficult conditions for the players. Bournemouth opened up well. They led through Ivar Nielsen after Alex Scott didn't give up a ball to the byline. He pulled it back and it was turned in. Jimenez doubled the lead with a clean shot on a one-on-one through Alisson in the Liverpool goal. But just as though it looked as though Bournemouth would consolidate that lead, back came Liverpool. Van Dijk, a corner from Szoboszlai, heading in, a glancing header across the keeper and into the back of the net. Half-time, Bournemouth 2, Liverpool 1.
Well, plenty of time for Liverpool to rescue at least a draw on that one anyway. To LGFA action now, and tomorrow afternoon at Sue, Cork host Kildare at MTU Cork as the Rebels begin life back in Division 1 of the Lidl LGFA National Football League. And ahead of their first competitive match of the season, the Big Red Bench's Joe McCarthy spoke to newly appointed senior camogie captain Emma Cleary from Aroke and the Cork LGFA senior manager Joe Carroll.
The Cork Ladies Football Senior Panel will have a new captain in 2026, and it is Air Oaks Emma Cleary who joins me here on the Big Red Bench. Emma, you're very welcome to the bench. How are you?
Good, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you. Congratulations on becoming the new senior captain of Cork for the coming season. A big honour, but when did you find out?
It was a few weeks ago anyway. I think Joe just pulled me there before one of the training sessions and just said it to me, and then it was announced there. We had a challenge game last week, so it was announced to the rest of the panel last week then, so a few weeks now.
I've seen you in action for club and county down through the years. You're a natural leader anyway. You're one of those people who helps a lot of the younger players. You get on with your own game, but this is a big honour to be captain of your county, and it must be lovely for you and for the family.
Yeah, it's a huge honour. I suppose first and foremost, it's a great honour for my club, Air Oak, after winning the county this year, you know, and just delighted to be representing them after the great year we've had, and then obviously for the family as well. I suppose I'm probably the named captain, but there's loads of leaders there, and I've my two vice captains with me, Melissa Duggan and Shauna Kelly. You know, they're obviously natural leaders there as well. So I'm surrounded by good people anyway.
You are indeed. You also, your dad is a good man. He's the Cork senior football manager, John Cleary. I know he likes to let you get on with your own thing, but helps out whenever he can. But he must be very proud. And has he offered any words of advice, or is he letting you get on with it?
Not really yet. I suppose he's busy out with his own matches and stuff, and sure, they're out next weekend, I think more or less the same time as us, so we're nearly too busy to kind of stop and talk about it. But no, he's obviously delighted. Mum and Dad, Laura, delighted. And as I said, it's nice for them and nice for the club, but John, he's always there for advice anyway.
He certainly is. You mentioned Air Oak. I just want to touch on it before we go on and speak about Cork. What a year. I mean, the years of heartache. I've been at those county finals in Air Oak just coming up short, but the emotion at the final whistle, Emma, when you finally get over the line after extra time against that, a fantastic day in the history of Air Oak. But I know you, and I know that club. You won't be wanting to rest on that. It's a long way off at the moment, but when that championship comes around again, you'll be looking to defend that title.
Yeah, definitely. Look, it was an amazing year to just finally get over the line. I think after the free kicks last year, I was thinking, like, will we ever get there? But in fairness, you know, we stuck at it. All the girls again were back in January, and we really drove on, took it game by game. Like, it wasn't plain sailing throughout the championship. We'd scrope over the line there against Kinsale in one of the group games. again, only beating Moran Abbey by a point. Had a tough semi-final against Vaz, and then, of course, with Ahada, another replay, more extra time. Do you know, there's nothing between us, but just delighted to get over the line. And I suppose, again, yeah, I think that the girls are back this week training now in Aero, so, do you know, we'll... There's such great young talent coming through in Aero. I think we won the minor and under 21 this year, so they'll all be pushing for places in the senior setup next year. So we're definitely not going to rest on it. And if we can win more counties, it'll be great. But definitely delighted with the one we got this year, anyway.
Indeed, all those players coming through are going to be pushing you for your place, Emma, and all the other establishments.
Definitely, yeah.
Likewise, yeah, with the Cork senior setup, because there's obviously there's been some high profile players that have stepped away for different reasons. Hannah Looney being one of them just last week. There's been a lot of transition as well in the backroom team. So look, there's a lot been happening in pre-season. Pre-season is pre-season. You get on with it, you get the work done. But how has it gone? Because there's a lot of new faces, I'd imagine, coming in and getting a go now at this senior panel as well.
Yeah, look, it's gone really well so far. We've had a few challenge games there the last few weeks and stuff. And as you said there's a lot of change to the backroom team, to players and stuff. But it's been positive, I suppose, like having the likes of Rachel Leahy back there fully fit after kind of two cruciates. You know, she's a huge plus. We've girls in there like Kate Redmond and stuff, like fighting for spots. And there, you know, there's a real positivity around the group at the moment. I suppose all will kind of tell next week when we go out in the first round of the league, but the last few weeks, I must say now, have been positive.
And this is nothing new at intercounty level, Emma, as you well know. There's just transition at different times and different cycles with teams, with management teams. Putting on the jersey and getting the job done is what it's all about. And as you said, on Sunday, January 25th in MTU Cork at 2 o'clock, Cork will begin their Lidl National Football League programme against Kildare. Before we talk about that and Kildare being back in Division 1, Emma, fantastic to get back up to Division 1. And right at this moment, there's so many players on the fringes that Joe and his team will probably try and take a look at some stage of the league. Being in Division 1 is going to bring you on.
Definitely, and I suppose that was the main goal last year, was just to get back up in Division 1. And look, we're delighted to be there. Like, we know the challenge that will be ahead playing those Division 1 teams, but that's where you want to be. That's where you want to be going into championship, having good tests along the way. So no, we're definitely delighted to be back up there. It's where I suppose Cork should be, but you have to earn it at the same time. And I think we did that last year. Yeah, looking forward to getting going now next weekend.
The new rules. This is going to be the big headline coming into it, aside from all the big matches, the new rules. So without going through each of the new rules, you've had a numerous, as you said, challenge games to get a look at this and try and get a grounding in it at the moment. And this weekend, just past the Division 4 games, were the first opportunity for people to see them online or on TV. But from a player's perspective, what's your kind of initial reaction after a couple of games to the suggested rules that will be coming in now through the National League?
Yeah, like, very positive reaction now, I must say. Obviously, we've been working on them the last while in a few challenge games, and obviously, like, AVBs and stuff. You know, even it will make the game last a lot quicker, like even the tap and go there. You know, it's kind of hard to get used to, but like it does make the game a lot faster and stuff, which is great. And obviously the three up rule, I suppose, kind of gets rid of some of that kind of mass defence that teams will be putting up and stuff. And even there, like things like the kick out mark and stuff, I suppose a lot of kick outs in ladies football will be kind of going short and stuff, but it does encourage kind of those longer kick outs and kind of more fielding in ladies football as well, which will be great to see. And then obviously hopefully we kind of get a bit more clarity on the tackle as well, and things might be let go a bit more as well. But I suppose we'll kind of the first three league games, I think, are trialing them all, so we'll kind of tell from there then.
Yeah, and of those, not to dwell on it for too long, obviously the straightforward ones, like the, as you said, the three up and the feeling, they're straightforward enough in terms of officiating. But the tackle, and we've had long conversations about this down through the years in LGFA, judging what a tackle is, when it's right and when it's wrong. Hopefully that won't come down to too much referee interpretation, because you know yourself from intercounty level, different referees try to do their best, but they referee the game very differently, or have done in previous years. Hopefully these rules will tighten that up. But is the tackle something that you'll be hoping will actually be tidied up more than anything?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's always a talking point around ladies football. I suppose, like, the thing is that, like, it was, I suppose, officially, they kind of, it was called a non-contact sport, which it just isn't the case. Like, you know, there has to be a bit of lenience with the tackle, and I think bringing in that rule will help. Sure, we're in the gym twice a week, you know, and we're doing all that strength work, and if, you know, what good is that if we can't go out and tackle hard and tackle properly? So I think it will be better for the game going forward.
Let's certainly hope so. Well, anyway, we're going to find out very, very soon, because on Sunday, January 25th in MTU Cork at 2 p.m, the opening round of this year's Lidl National Football League Division 1, Cork taking on Kildare, and they'll have a new captain out on the pitch, Aero County winning champion Emma Cleary. We wish you and everybody on the Cork panel all the best for the coming year. We look forward to speaking to you and keeping track of how things are going.
Thanks very much, sir.
Now on Sunday, January 25th, in the opening round of the 2026 Lidl LGFA National Football League Division 1, Cork returns to the top tier and are hosting Kildare at MTU Cork with a 2 p.m. throw-in. On the line is the Cork LGFA senior manager Joe Carroll to preview his county's first competitive game of the new season. You're very welcome back to the bench, Joe. How are you?
Thank you very much, sir. Not too bad.
Apart from the weather, Joe, we're going to try and stay positive, and as we look ahead to this big, big game, before we start, it must be great, despite whatever's happened in the past, you're back in Division 1, the top tier. This is something you and Cork very needed to be where they are. How much are you looking forward to the challenge of this National League?
I'm looking forward to it hugely, sir. Look, it's good to be back in Division 1, and there's, you know, I suppose you can look back in the past and learn from it, but we're looking forward to the future now, and hopefully we do well in Division 1, and that will be one of our aims for the year, I suppose, to do very well in Division 1 as well as we possibly can, and just nice to have our first game at home as well.
It is. It's a much-changed Cork senior panel this year, Joe, with the likes of Sarah Leahy, Hannah Looney, Libby Coppinger and Aoife Healy, although Aoife will be around for the National League, gone from the panel. How has that transition gone in the build-up to the big game?
Sure, look, this is disappointing. He's been losing players, losing those players that they've stepped away for the moment anyway. But look, we've just got to settle down and concentrate on the panel we've there and the players we've brought in. And the players that were there from last year have worked very hard since the 21st of December to try and get ourselves ready for the first game against Kildare. And we are quite happy with the way we have trained over the last couple of months.
Has the weather affected those training sessions, Joe? The only reason I ask is the other managers I've spoken to in the club and intercounty, it did affect them in their own early weeks of January. Was that the same for yourselves, or were you able to get on with things?
Yeah, Joe, in fairness, we have been fierce lucky, and we are up in Delaney Rovers CA Club, who have been absolutely tremendous to us, and I suppose up there in particular, Jermaine is the man leading the things up there, and he's excellent with us, and we haven't missed any training sessions by our one Sunday. We changed from a Sunday to Monday because it was extremely bad. We haven't missed any sessions so far this year, thank God, but even though, as we do the interview now, it's pouring rain and we train tomorrow night, so it might be that easy, but in there.
You'll be ready for it. We mentioned some of the experienced players that won't be involved this year, but you have experience in a new nominated captain from Aero, Emma Cleary, and your vice captains have plenty of experience as well, Melissa Duggan and Shauna Kelly. Good voices to have around this panel.
Yeah, great voices. Look, they're very experienced. They've been there for several years now, and Emma in particular is captain, and she had a great year with her over winning the county championship as well, and Melissa and Shauna are going to add to that as well. They're great leaders both on and off the field, and they set the example for the other players, so it's great to have them, you know.
It is, and you'll need them, because on Sunday you start your campaign at home to Kildare. Now, the Leinster side reached last year's All-Ireland quarter-finals, just like Cork, only to lose to Kerry. They stayed up in Division 1 as well last year, Joe, by virtue of beating Tyrone, Meath and most notably Dublin. So getting over the Lilywhites will be no easy task.
Oh, absolutely not. And like, we're under no illusion as to what we are. They were quite impressive last year, and they have a very experienced manager in Pat Sullivan, who I'd be quite friendly with, and Pat knows his football, and he'll have Kildare well prepared, and they'll be well prepared to come down to Cork and try and turn Cork over in Cork. But look, hopefully we'll be ready for them on the day, and whichever team is the better would hopefully win.
Logistically, I would imagine, Joe, you're glad to be at home in that first game. It just makes it life that little bit easier in the build-up.
Yeah, it does, Joe, because look, I suppose you have other things, like if you're up in Armagh, round 3, if you're planning hotels and staying the night before, and times you're going, you don't have that headache headache when you're at home against Kildare, and we're at home the second match against Galway as well, and just a nice bit of a start to get like this. We get into the league. Like, I suppose everybody will be saying we want to be winning our home games, but I suppose every game, whether it's home or away, you want to try and win it. But like, it's still very nice to have a home game to start with.
Yeah, and this is the thing, there's just, it's a cliche, but there are no easy games in Division 1. You'll also be at home to Waterford and Meath a little bit later on, and you're away to Dublin, away to Kerry, away to Armagh. Irrespective of the venue, Joe, I suppose at this point of the season, when you're heading into it, what you'll be looking for is consistency, some new players to put up their hands for future selection and in the build-up to the Munster Championship.
Yeah, that's exactly, Joe. We would be hoping for a bit of consistency, and if we'd get off to maybe a good start, and we'd build in that and maybe build in our confidence a little bit as well. And, you know, I suppose the public as well would have to be a little bit patient with Cork, because we still have a lot of young players in there. I was counting the other night out of the panel. We have 21 college players, and that's a lot of young players in a squad. So it's going to take them a bit of time to bed in and things like that. So hopefully all goes well in the first match.
And just finally, Joe, apart from the opposition, apart from the National League, the LGFA have introduced some new playing rule enhancements which will be trialled during the 2026 National League and Higher Education Colleges competitions. The kick-out mark, the two-point scoring arc, solo and goal, freeze being brought forward for descent. How have you and the management team adapted to those new rules, or will you really know until you play on Sunday?
I suppose if we get into the really competitive games, we won't really know it or how we have adapted that well. So I think the solo goal seems to be working fairly well. The kick-out back, I'm not sure it's going to apply that much to ladies football, because a lot of the kick-outs are going that bit short anyway. So tackling is the other area that we're not too sure of yet. Like, see how it goes, because it's supposed to be down to the interpretation of the referees as well, which is out, and maybe we had a few games ourselves out where we got referees. They're a smart bit unsure as well. So, look, I suppose after three or four rounds to be either assessed how they are, they've made a big impact on men's football, because it's become a lot more high scoring. Hopefully they'll have the same impact as the league. And we look forward to to adapt to them as well.
And we look forward to covering that throughout the season here in the Big Red Bench with you. But on Sunday, January 25th, the opening round of the 2026 Lidl LGFA National Football League Division 1, Cork back in the top tier, hosting Kildare at MTU Cork with a 2 p.m. throw-in. To the Cork LGFA Senior Manager, Joe Carroll, we wish you all the best, and we'll talk to you on Sunday.
Thanks very much, Joe.
All right, great stuff. Now to rugby briefly, and in the Energia All-Ireland League.
Energia AIL updates on the Big Red Bench. With Energia, think of the possibilities.
Yeah, in Division 1A, Old Belvedere beat Cork Con 18 points to 12. In Division 1B, City of Armagh won against UCC on a scoreline of 26 points to 5. While Highfield, they bested Dublin University 21 points to 10. Energia updates. Energia AL updates are with thanks to Energia. Think of the possibilities. Now, last but certainly not least, it was a pleasure to be joined in studio by Dermot Cotter, a budding young sports journalist from right here in Cork. He's already a bit of a celebrity, however, as you may remember him from the TV show Rebel Education. Please give a massive Big Red Bench welcome to Dermot Cotter, a Spurs fan for his sins of all things, though. We're delighted to be joined here in the Big Red Bench studio by a very special guest and a very special Tottenham fan. Dermot, you're beating Burnley at the moment. Things are going well for Spurs.
Guy Van de Ven has gotten a goal at Turf Moor after the opening few minutes of the game. And that's very good news to me. I just quite like when they're a goal up.
Oh, sure, look, you're not doing too well in the Premier League table.
Yeah, not too well. You see, all the results have been not quite impressive. The losing has been very effective for, have been a real pain for Tottenham and their manager. Like, he's under a lot of pressure today. And if he loses this fixture, this might be the end of his career.
Do you reckon yes. It could be that bad?
Well, it could be that bad if he goes.
Do you want to see him stay on?
I'd be happy if he would stay, unless he can like turn the season around.
Yeah.
Then the way it's currently been at.
Is a tough going being a Spurs fan, though.
Yeah, I suppose so.
You could have picked Man United or Liverpool. Why Spurs?
Well, I came up with the idea to go for them. I did. God,
that's an ambitious idea.
Very ambitious.
Who's your favourite player?
Mohamed Kudus.
Oh yeah, why is he your favourite
player? Because I like the fact he controls the ball, he's very strong, and he fights players off, and he knows how to like cross the ball into the box and set up goals for any strikers coming in at the last second.
Okay, anyone else you like watching at the moment?
Well, I like watching the Cork hurling team.
Oh, very exciting. So tomorrow.
Oh, yes.
You're looking forward to that. And you play a bit of rugby as well.
Yeah, I play for the Carrigaline Community School Rugby Club.
Very good. Who's your coach there?
Mr. O'Donovan.
Okay.
And he's by far the best coach I ever had to work with.
Oh, why is he the best?
Because he's been teaching me like how to like get into it and get used to it, and how to pass, how to like score tries, and do all the drills.
Wow, have you scored many tries yourself?
Scored a few, actually.
Okay, what's your favourite try you scored? What happened?
Well, I would literally celebrate if I scored any myself, actually.
What celebration do you do?
Well, normally I would just cheer.
Oh, sure, look, has to be done. Let the emotion out, isn't it?
Yeah, just let all the emotion out.
Ah, brilliant stuff. And what's Tyke like as a coach? I'm sure he's brilliant. He's a really nice guy, isn't
yeah.
he?
And it's very nice of him to have me on part of this wonderful team. And for me, it's been a great experience to work with him.
But sure, they're very lucky to have you as part of their team as well.
Oh, yes, they're very lucky to have me now. And it's been an honour to be one of their players.
Sure, when you're scoring tries, why wouldn't it be?
Yeah, why wouldn't it be at all? Like,
What position do you play?
You see, normally I play forward. And when I'm the forward, I'm meant to go like on the wing, just like to attack and mm-hmm. stuff.
Well, you're a big, big, strong lad anyway. You're towering over me in studio.
Yes.
So look, a career in rugby might be the way to go for yourself.
Yeah, it might definitely be the ideal way to go for it.
But you're also interested in sports commentary as well.
Yeah, because I think this would be the best opportunity for me.
Well, look, hopefully people listening now will listen to you in future.
Yeah,
when you're,
they will definitely listen to me in future, yeah.
They'll have to remember the name, Ger McDay.
They'll have to remember that, yeah.
Well, brilliant stuff. Is there anyone you want to give a shout out before we sign off here?
No, I'm quite happy with this.
Brilliant stuff. Well, Dermot, thanks so much for coming into the studio. It's been an absolute pleasure. Hopefully Spurs keep the lead for you against
Burnley.
Well,
hopefully. I hope they just increase more before half-time, like...
Brilliant stuff. Thanks a million, Dermot.
You're more than welcome.
Well, unfortunately for poor old Dermot, Spurs didn't let him down as usual. I'd say he's well used to it now, though. And amazing from young Dermot. I'm sure you'll be hearing a lot more from him on the Cork airwaves in future. That's all we have time for here on the Big Red Bench. Dan Casey signing off. Enjoy the games in the park tomorrow if you're headed Cork or back. Have a great evening. Marty Guilfoyle is on the way next.